Ja, liebe Hörer, wir haben heute eine neue Folge in der Mache hier von dem Podcast Block 52. Mein Name ist Philipp Sandner und ich bin Leiter des Frankfurt School Blockchain Centers und wir sprechen heute mit Iliad Garifa. Er arbeitet bei Oasis Insights. Das ist eine Firma im Bereich Web3-Commerce. Da geht es darum, dass zunehmend Commerce, also quasi Onlinehandel stattfindet bezüglich NFTs, virtuellen Gütern im Metaverse und so weiter. Dieser ganze aufstrebende Bereich heißt Web3-Commerce und fängt ja langsam an, in dem Bereich zu entstehen. Es gibt wenig Experten in Deutschland in dem Bereich, deswegen sind wir hier ausgewichen auf einen Experten aus UK und dementsprechend ist die nächste Folge auf Englisch. Ich hoffe, das stört nicht, aber wir wollten unbedingt diesen Bereich Web3-Commerce bearbeiten, weil der auch ganz große Implikationen hat hinsichtlich Privacy und Identity. Ja, welcome everybody. Today we have an English episode. Today I'm very happy to talk to Iliad from Oasis. That's a startup sitting in UK and elsewhere. It's distributed startup sitting dealing with identity and privacy. And before we start with all the questions on how identity will be changing in the Web3, maybe Iliad, please present yourself and your company briefly.
Great. So yeah, thanks, Philip, and very excited to be on the podcast. Looking forward to the conversation. My name is Iliad Garifa. I'm co-founder and CEO of Oasis Insights. My background has been always working in emerging technology. I was previous at Capgemini Invent's innovation strategy team before then moving full-time into the Web3 space. So working at FICO, which is a Web3 incubator and consultancy, where we incubated Oasis Insights, which is a Web3 commerce experience platform that creates one-to-one personalized experiences for Web3 customers. So we heavily rely on a data-driven approach to this, leveraging insights from Web3 wallets and using that from the merchant's customer base and automating their ability to actually create personalized experiences specific to every user. We help these merchants look to achieve their growth goals in Web3 through increasing those engagements and sales do that. But really importantly, like you mentioned, Philip, we take privacy really at the core philosophy of what we do. And we have important user privacy preservation elements as well to that product.
Exactly. Very nice. So imagine in the future, we will potentially buy something at an online shop, you know, like e-commerce thing, and we are not paying with credit card, but potentially we purchase in tokens, could be US dollar tokens. So I'm handing over to the merchant my wallet address. What, Iliad, happens then? And where is privacy required? Where is it increased and where is it decreased?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's as we kind of move more and more of our lives on chain, wallets can tell an incredible, amount of information about a person and a very personal story about who we are. So you can imagine if you have a particular wallet and they've had a KYC on an Indian exchange, you can probably understand that they're based in India and that they're located in that region. You can also look at the NFTs that they bought. You can understand a lot about their personal preferences and the things that they're interested in. And so this kind of data is really, really valuable to an organization and a merchant. And if you have the ability to connect your wallet and understand exactly who's at your store, you have the ability to create amazing personalized experiences because the data is so rich that comes from the Web3 space. And therefore, you have a great ability to create personalization. I think importantly, it's important to think about what personalization really means in this context. Personalization really is in e-commerce the automatic tailoring of sites and messages so that your individual that's viewing them, it's specific to them. And there's a lot of data that shows how important this is. Salesforce has come out statistics recently I was looking into. 66% of customers actually just expect brands to understand their needs. And so when we think about Web3 and all this data that's available, the ability to translate that into these behavioral profiles to predict users' needs and create the experiences, this personalization can trigger adoption. And so it's really important that merchants do that. And once the concept is that once a user is able to connect their wallet through this data, you can create a tailored personal experience. So you can imagine user connects their wallet and then they would actually not just see, your standard web page that might just have all the, digital assets that merchants selling, but instead they'd have it personalized specifically to them based on things that they bought in the past, transactions they've made, their interests, their behaviors. And you see great conversion rate from that. I think in terms of, you mentioned privacy as well. In terms of privacy, there's lots and lots of data that's therefore available on chain. And so it's really, really important that we remember privacy as a core component of this. And what we're looking to do at Oasis is ensure that that's at the center. So we're also creating a browser plugin that allows users to be able to actually view and control their data and preferences in terms of what data is available to those organizations.
But you know, the point is, we discussed this previously, in case I am purchasing 2, 3, 4 NFTs, and maybe I get an NFT because I have attended a conference, right? Then it's possible to identify me to some degree with some likelihood, such that I show you my wallet address, and then you could infer who might this be. And you could say, okay, with a probability of 40%, that's Philip, right? So you said that it's very rich data, but to be honest, you know, isn't this very scary?
Yeah, it totally is. And that's why I think that, you know, the privacy piece within the Web3 landscape is going to be one of the biggest things that comes out over the next couple of years, no doubt. Even Vitalik, I think, in the Ethereum ecosystem has said that, you know, in his recent blog post, this is the largest problem that they have within Ethereum remaining. And I think it's really, really important that organizations think about, you know, you can get a lot of value from on-chain data, and that's really, really useful for merchants, but it has to be used in the right way. You have to have the right privacy protections in place, and you have to understand that this is has to be done on, you know, on their terms effectively. And we've actually seen a very similar thing happening in the Web2 space. So if you look at the evolution of the way that data is actually being used in Web2, we've seen a huge amount of pushback from many different angles. So you have, you know, apps not allowing it. You have companies like, you know, Firefox, for example, that are banning cookies, and Chrome is doing so going forward. You also have customers that are actually changing their beliefs and their habits based on the fact that they want to be more private. So 9 out of 10 people believe that organizations shouldn't actually access their data without their permission, coming from Google. And you also have the regulatory standpoint, right? So you need to be able to avoid violating data privacy laws like GDPR, for example. So it's very, very important that privacy is thought about as early as we can within the Web3 space. And we're seeing more and more that this is also a concern for merchants. You know, it's a massive priority to ensure that you respect the privacy of users, and you'll also get increased adoption through doing that as well. So yeah, very scary and important that we deal with it in the right way.
So what in this domain are you as a company building?
So particularly on the, if you look at the privacy standpoint, it's a core component of the merchant product that we're building. So we don't just believe that there's great ability for merchants to leverage this on-chain data. Like I said, it needs to be done in the right way. So when we have merchants using our tool, the other thing that will be available is that there will be a pop-up on the merchant store where they will be able to show to users that they can download the Oasis Insights browser plugin. And what that allows users to do is actually get a transparent view of them being able to see how their data is being used. And so they'll be able to view the on-chain transactions and see who and which merchant stores are using their data. They'll also get notifications about when their data is used, about how they could be more private based on their on-chain activity. Because I think a lot of this is down to education. As we move into the Web3 space and more people download wallets, the people that have been in the Web3 space really understand, you know, what the implications of your on-chain activities mean for your privacy. But a lot of people don't at this stage. And so I think notifications and education are really important, but also preferences. This is the most important thing here, your ability to actually say whether or not your on-chain data is being used. Now, even though all of our transactions are immutable on the blockchain, public, it's very important that we find ways to have a privacy angle to that. And there are obviously lots of solutions that do that within the privacy space, whether it's privacy-focused blockchains, smart contracts, securities, or, you know, specific tooling. We very much fit into that tooling space, where we're giving users the ability to have a tool that gives them control of the way that organizations use their data on chain.
Okay, so to maybe discuss it once again, once we are using USDT and other tokens on blockchain wallets to buy something that would be called commerce, right, merchants, mm-hmm. then we are at risk of revealing our identity, because the more we are transacting with this very wallet, the easier it gets to compile the puzzle, who am I and what are my preferences, right? So what, and you say, okay, we need to educate ourselves better because then we can avoid this, but how can we avoid this, right? How, what do we have to have in mind when we are using our wallet address, because any transaction will sit on some ever existing ledgers, right? So what would be your recommendation to users?
Absolutely. So in terms of like privacy and best ways to, you know, think about that when you're interacting on chain, there's lots of good privacy tech that's coming out. So being aware of tools, you know, like Oasis Insights that allow you to protect that when thinking about the way you interact with commerce. But there's also some really good, you know, privacy focused blockchains out there. So ensuring that you are interacting with those kind of chains, and they are, yeah, built from the ground up to be focused around the privacy component and ensure that you don't have all of your data that's available. I think the other area of blockchain that's really interesting in this space is thinking more about self-sovereign identity play, and how actually there's an interesting area of privacy that looks at verifiable credentials, and how if you can package, you know, individuals' data up into verifiable credentials that are just small packages of data, you don't necessarily need organizations to understand the full data profile about an individual, but instead, if you were to just share a verifiable credential, which is a package of data, maybe the fact that you are, you know, KYC'd, for example, then you only need to share that particular piece of information. So I think, you know, interacting with those kind of areas of the privacy network is a good piece as well. The final point I'd say around that is that, you know, it's important to think about the wallets that you have as a user. You know, wallets can be, generally people tend to have multiple different wallets, and they do that for lots of different reasons. And I think that's also a good way to preserve, you know, privacy as well. If you're a private person and you want to, you know, split up your assets across different wallets, that's also a great way to also be more private as well.
Yeah, okay, good points. But ideally, you know, from a higher normative perspective, actually, I would have to create a new wallet address anytime I'm doing something on chain, because only then somebody else could not associate my wallet addresses, right? At least when I'm receiving funds. But in case I'm trying to top up my wallets, you know, like dumping some money on my wallet addresses, then very often it could have one origin where the money comes from, and then again through the transactions and through the transaction graph, it would still be possible to recognize me. So from a normative perspective, I would have to have one new wallet address for each new transaction. That would be the best, right?
Yeah, totally. I think if you wanted to completely preserve privacy in the current landscape of what's available, then that's the best way that you'd have to do it. I think, and if we think about where we want Web3 to go, and we want customer experience to go in the Web3 space, we need to obviously find a solution to that. You know, that's why I think these privacy networks exist, and an ability for you to actually have, you know, if you could have a single wallet but be private and interact with that wallet address, then that's obviously the idea of where we want to get to. And so I think if we look at kind of the wider privacy landscape, I think that's the direction it will go in, which is leveraging, you know, these blockchains that offer, you know, privacy preserving tools such as, you know, ZK proofs, etc., to hopefully mean that you don't have to create those individual, you know, wallets for every transaction. But absolutely, I mean, currently in the landscape, that's the only way that you could remain completely private, is not having the trackability between the wallets that you use.
Okay. And if we talk about people using wallet addresses to pay for something, right? Is this already matured? You know, how mature is the Web3 commerce? Are people using tokens and wallet addresses to purchase something, or is this, I don't know, the future?
Yeah, definitely. So I think the Web3 e-commerce landscape is actually one of the most interesting areas, but I think there is in the Web3 space. So we're seeing, you know, in 2022, more and more people using blockchain technology. There's a recent survey from Hotboy that said that 85 million, you know, Web3 wallet users are out there at the moment. That's an increase of 6.3% in the previous year. So we're seeing good traction in terms of number of sort of wallets that are being used. In terms of then what that actually means in the e-commerce space, one of the best metrics you can use to look at how that's growing is the actual e-commerce providers at the moment and the solutions and platforms that offer in that space. One of the biggest players in that area is Shopify. So Shopify, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, e-commerce platform in the world. And they are heavily investing in the Web3 space and seeing a super interesting ecosystem emerge. So they've had recently invested 24 million in Third Web to help build out the tooling and infrastructure within their space. They're also having lots of Web3 players using Shopify. NFT brands that you all know well, Doodles, World of Women, Invisible Friends, all leverage Shopify in some way for their, you know, offering. And there's also lots of apps and an exciting, you know, Web3 ecosystem that's starting to develop within that space, offering solutions such as, you know, token gating and also like minting and other areas that help with kind of creating the products in that journey. And yeah, we're seeing it's a very interesting space as it's emerging. I think.
But Ilias, can you make some examples? You know, what are people purchasing, and basically what are people? You know, who exactly is purchasing things, and what services are being sold with Web3 commerce?
Mm-hmm. So I mean, in terms of examples, the early adopters that we're seeing are definitely, you know, NFT plays, and particularly within the art ecosystem. So core NFT community plays such as Doodles, World of Women, Invisible Friends, like I mentioned, and then slowly kind of moving into the art space and also digital fashion. I think those are two places that are really, really key. We're seeing, you know, sales of art NFTs for a long time now, and then fashion is becoming increasingly a component, particularly as the metaverse becomes, you know, more prominent. The other area that we're also seeing a lot of NFT sales through commerce is in gaming, particularly around NFT marketplaces and the ability to sell, you know, gaming assets as NFTs. And what we're seeing is, as well, in terms of a approach and the evolution of commerce in this space, is that a lot of these players are moving in with what we call generic journeys. So they're starting to sell and mint NFTs, they're starting to take crypto tokens and payments, but really there's no personalization there. There's no understanding really of your customer other than what you believe your market to be. We're then seeing, you know, some more generic personalization. So we're seeing a lot of people trying to create token gated commerce stores, which does well, you know, understanding that your customer base owns a certain NFT and then allowing them to only be the ones that purchase that. A good example of that was Tiffany with CryptoPunks and them creating a specific offering for CryptoPunk holders. But what we're starting to see now is actually organizations think, okay, well, if I can offer this to your organizations, how can I actually get more insight? So they're capturing wallet data. They're doing manual analysis on websites like June, for example. But in terms of the offering at the moment, all that really gives them is the ability to analyze data and get some basic insights on it. But it's very, very difficult for them to actually action that data. And that's where Oasis Insights come in. This is the main offering that we have as a product, which is, we believe that the next step is actually having that insight, but then being able to create one-to-one personalized experiences off it. So if you're able to understand the specific wallet address of that user, analyze that user, but then have on your merchant store a specific widget that is tailored to them, then that creates a one-to-one personalized experience that we've seen a massive adoption with in the Web2 space. So I think that's the kind of direction that we'll end up going in with e-commerce.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. So you are not saying that existing e-commerce is now being transformed towards tokens and wallets. So that doesn't mean that I will purchase my Amazon books with wallet addresses tomorrow, but you are rather saying that there is some kind of new space emerging where products are being sold which have not been existing so far. They are linked to Web3 assets. You said NFTs, you said communities with NFTs, you said basically all these virtual assets for the metaverse and so on. So there will be a new domain for consumers emerging next to the e-commerce which we are knowing today, right? So what I would like to carve out here is the following. Wallets and tokens are not transforming existing electronic commerce. they are rather opening up a new space of commerce, which you would call Web3 commerce. And opening up something new is very different from transforming something existing. Am I right with this interpretation, or did I get you wrong?
Oh, no, exactly right. But I do think it is both. So first of all, like you said, the original evolution that we've seen within the Web3 and the crypto space is actually just having tokens in a wallet and being able to purchase through that. And over the years, we've seen more and more adoption of just crypto payments. So using a wallet rather than using typical cash and fiat. Now, we're definitely seeing an increased adoption with that. And I can say that's also true within the Shopify ecosystem. However, what we're also seeing is exactly how you termed it, a change in the way that we're also leveraging Web3 around the products that are actually offered in the experience as well. So it's not just about how are you paying, it's about the way in which you can engage customers, the offerings you can have, the products that you can give them, and the way you can personalize that experience to make it much more fitting to them in comparison, particularly to what you could have ever done within Web2.
Okay. That makes very much sense. And what are solutions like Shopify doing in this field? Shopify, from my perspective, comes from the e-commerce world. It's an online shopping solution. What is Shopify doing in the Web3 world? Are they using or trying to leverage their own online shopping solution for Web3 providers, right? Is this what's happening here?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I think they've noticed that because of the way that Web3 is changing, the products that are offered, the experience you can give to customers, such as token gating, such as personalization through wallets, they've realized how big an opportunity this is for an e-commerce platform like Shopify. So they're investing very heavily in it. And the way that they do that typically is through encouraging merchants to adopt the technology, but also through the applications that they have on offer within their platform. So for those that might not know as much about the way that Shopify works, it's an e-commerce platform, but what they also have is they have a whole ecosystem of applications that can get built that can be integrated with their platform. And what that means is that there's lots of opportunity to think about Web3 innovation within that space wider than what the platform currently offers. And so we've seen over the past year or so lots of apps move into this space. There's apps such as accepting crypto payments. There's apps around token gating, around minting. And we're starting to see this increase. But it very much aligns with what I was kind of talking around those steps in the journey to what we're seeing. First of all, we're having that increased amount of token gating and minting, et cetera, and crypto payments. But we're slowly moving towards, once merchants have started to adopt Web3 and started to sell digital assets or accept crypto, it's what can we do next? How can we further personalize that experience for Web3 commerce? And that's exactly what I think will happen next with merchants, is further personalization.
Yeah, very interesting. What are competitors doing in the field? Like traditional e-commerce companies in the field, or potentially your competitors as startup in the Web3 space? How mature is this entire ecosystem?
Yeah, it's, I think in terms of the way in which other e-commerce platforms are thinking about it, there's been investments in other e-commerce platforms, not as heavily as Shopify, but some others. So like WooCommerce has invested in a few apps and got them onto their platform. And so there's other competitors, Shopify, for example, thinking about this. I think if I think about Oasis Insights, I'd still say we're very early. And in terms of the market that I look at it, I typically think about what we're doing in relation to, first of all, insights and analytics, but then secondly, customer experience and personalization, and doing that through automation and AI. So in terms of the first field, there's lots that's going on in analytics and insights. Whether you take your first adopters of this space, looking at companies like June Analytics, being able to actually understand wallet data and get insights from that. There's lots of companies that offer that and are able to generate that insight. But what we're not seeing a lot at the moment is the ability to take that insight and actually create personalized experiences off the back of it. Because if you think about it from a merchant perspective, it's all very well and good being able to analyze your customers' wallet data, understand information about them, but it's a whole other thing actually actioning that. And the easier you can make it for organizations to be able to understand their customers, but then actually offer a tailored experience without them having to lift a finger, the better experience it is for them as well as their users. So that's what we're looking to solve with Oasis Insights. We're building an app which is going to integrate with the Shopify ecosystem. And what that means is that when merchants would use our app, it would mean that when a user connects their wallet address to their store, we would be able to then analyze that wallet address, create an insight, but then offer a personalized web page to that user based on the analysis that we've done. So that then drives, you know, it's a direct revenue driver because it's an increased engagement and likely increased sales as well. So that's the direction that I think we'll start going in with that space.
Yeah, very interesting. Perfect. I think at this point of time, let's close it down. What's your recommendation for this entire field? Would you like to, do you think this has been hit by the recent crypto crisis? Is it still emerging? Should we investigate this topic? Should we deal with it because it's growing? Maybe you can draw a conclusion.
Absolutely. So I'd say Web3 e-commerce is an incredibly exciting space. There's lots going on in terms of experiences that can be offered to customers. So I definitely say get involved and interact with brands and understand what they now have to offer. They can offer a lot more in my experience than what we are seeing in the Web2 space. And lots of innovation, right? Big brands also moving into this space as well. You know, Nike, Adidas, we've seen lots of examples of that. But then also what I would say is, you know, privacy, particularly at what we're doing with Oasis Insights, is very, very much at the core of what we do. And that space will continue to evolve, like I said, through blockchains, through different solutions such as ZK, but also through tooling like Oasis Insights. And so I definitely say keep, you know, in alignment with the privacy space, think about what you're doing on chain, think about your activity to make sure that you are being as private as possible if you are a private person. And I mean, in terms of next steps for Oasis Insights, we are we're successfully funded by Blockchain Founders Group and are now moving into, you know, building first iteration of our product. So we are moving into that space now, and you can expect to hear more from us over the next coming months. And also obviously follow us on all our socials. We have lots of exciting stuff coming out over the next couple of months.
Perfect. Thanks very much, Elliot. That was very interesting to talk about because this entire topic around Web3 commerce is quite new. There are not many experts out there. I also want to investigate this in more depth this year. Thanks much for being here. And then, Elliot, have a very nice day.
Thanks, Philip. It'd be great to be here.